just to continue where I left off, or try to think. And then as the closing scene was drawn to its conclusion, I, as pastor, went to the platform with musical background of the Inupiat version of Silent Night, Holy Night, sung by one of the ladies of our church with the organ accompanying her, and I made a few comments and then gave the prayer of benediction. The program was very, very well received, and we feel as though, even though there was much labor involved, it was well worth all of the effort, for the people were very enthusiastic as they went their way. Friday was a off day as far as the pastor is concerned, off in so much that there was not any pressing duties. We had a few friends in for our Friday evening meal, and then late in the evening we opened the Christmas gifts around our tree and had the enthusiasm of the children and a very, very grand time. And then the day of the year, as far as the village is concerned, I think, at least as far as the villagers that attend either of the churches here in town, is the Christmas feast that comes on Christmas Day, and of course this year on Saturday. We had a full house, as always. There was an abundance of meat and muktuk and fish, as well as some of the traditional foods, turkey and dressing, cakes, jellos, ice cream, and of course the tea and coffee that's standard at any get-together with the Eskimo people. The banquet, as we would refer to it, banquet, the feast, as is referred to by the Eskimo people, began at 1 o'clock, and it continued until about 4 or 4:30, and then the cleanup crew took over, and in a matter of an hour and a half had the building, which is a fair-sized building, had it all cleaned up and ready to go for the Saturday night film that we showed on Christmas night here in the church. That pretty well takes care of the Christmas week as such. And then the Sunday services following Christmas were a little bit slack due to the many activities of the week before. The attendance was down some, but not in a marked way. We did have a fairly good crowd on Sunday night, but the Sunday morning attendance being a little low due to the many activities of the prior week. Now this week, which is the week before New Year's, is a very quiet week as far as church activities are concerned. We will have our regular midweek prayer meeting and Bible study, and then the next official activity of the church would be on Friday night, when we would have our, as we refer to it, our watch night service, where the church people get together, and we have a service beginning at 10 o'clock Friday evening going until midnight with a midnight communion service. And that concludes, of course, the year 1971 and ushers in the year 1972. It's a time of reflection, a time of looking back in the watch night service on the activities of the past year, a time of looking forward to the activities of the coming year, and a time of looking inward to see just how we fit in, whether our lives are pleasing or whether our lives have been unacceptable as far as our Creator is concerned. To our local church, have always had a Christmas program of some type. This dates back, though I couldn't document it, but it dates back probably 75 years and maybe more, but something close to that, that they've been having a Christmas program of some type here in Barrow. Now the Assemblies of God are only 18 years old as far as Barrow is concerned. We arrived 18 years ago, but we have had a Christmas program of some type every year. We just in the last 3 years have had facilities large enough where we could really promote a Christmas program and encourage those that are not normal adherents to our church to be there. Prior to that time, we were so crowded with space, and the front of the church was so limited that there was very very little capabilities to really put on too much of a program. So it is, as far as Barrow's concerned, many years old. As far as the Assemblies of God in Barrow are concerned, this is the 18th annual Christmas program.
How do you acquire the food for the feast?
The food for the feast is provided by the local people. The successful hunters, especially the successful whale hunters, provide the bulk of the food. I would estimate 75 or 80% of the food is provided by the whaling crews, consisting of whale meat and the muktuk. And then there are others that bring in caribou meat and fish, and all of it pre-cut into from 1 to 2 pound chunks as far as the whale, and fish in approximately 8 ounce to 1 pound size portions. And then desserts are brought in by the ladies of the church, cake and, well, I started to say pies, but not at the feast. They bring pies to various things, but too many people for pie at the feast. Usually cakes and jellos for dessert. This year we had ice cream, which is unusual. That and then candy, of course, for all the kids at the end. All of it provided by the members of the congregation. They provide everything. The church underwrites the incidental expenses that are involved. Various things have to be purchased. Rubber gloves, for example, for those that serve. The plastic covering for the carpeting in the church, which is a matter of $50 or so, and things of this type. The church, it's just a part of the church budget, but the food itself is all provided by the local congregation. And an interesting feature here, I find, to show the cooperation as far as the churches of the community are concerned, the captains of whaling crews that are members of the Presbyterian Church, they bring a gift of meat over to our church, and then our captains, they take a gift of meat back over there, usually consisting of several hundred pounds, back and forth. And I think this is great. Really, I'm real happy to see this type of response among the local members. So far, in the years I've been here, this is my fourth Christmas here, there's always been an abundance of food. They tell me that in years past, there has been times when the hunting was not as successful, and consequently the feast was not as big as far as food is concerned, that they had a limited amount to share. But in the 4 years that I've been here, there's been an abundance of food. People taking home all they can carry, literally, all they can lift, maybe 30, 40 pounds of meat, 15, 20 pounds of fish, several pounds of muktuk, for them to feast on other days at home. It's been very, very successful in this area.
Does a member of your congregation organize the feast? Or
well, our official church board actually lays out the the work crews and such as that. We have an official board meeting prior to the feast, both at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. And then there is one person selected that is the overseer, as it is referred to, more or less the superintendent or the foreman. And then there are three men selected that are called lookouts to see that the food is shared equally, that one person doesn't get a considerably larger share than another. And then there are eight young ladies, usually in their high school or early 20s, selected, and eight young men selected that are servers. And the men carry the food, the soups and the meat around in boxes, and then the girls distribute it, give a piece or two or whatever the amounts that are made available to the various families, pass that out. And they began with the soup, which is eaten usually on the spot. And then next comes the meat or muktuk in the form of kwok, and that is eaten as much of it as they can right then, and then the the balance, they, most of them bring a plastic bag or a large metal container and put it in it to take it home with them. And then also selected are those that, what they call in charge of the meat, usually two of the older ladies of the congregation. By older, I mean middle-aged ladies that are experienced in keeping their eye on the amount of meat and see to it that it's distributed pretty well, equal. And then after that is the cleanup crew that's selected, usually two ladies and four men, because all of the chairs have to be washed, all of the pews have to be washed, all of the plastic removed from the floor and the carpet vacuumed and the tables cleaned and such as that. Since, as you probably observed, the whole, with the exception of the platform area, is turned into a cafeteria type of arrangement, which is not normally done in our Assemblies of God churches, other places. Food is not usually served in the sanctuary, and it's not here except at the feast time. Only on Thanksgiving and Christmas is food allowed in the sanctuary area. But this is something that we find is a local situation that's easy to cope with, that since there are not other facilities available for a banquet or a feast of this type, we cooperate with it wholeheartedly.
One, two, three, four, five. Come on. But the shingles don't want to leave.
Thank you. I don't know how to describe it. No, not me. Oh, that. Oh, I don't know. I don't know who made it.
How come you're holding it?
Don't ask me.
Yeah, maybe she. What's it for?
It's for the singles, and whoever wins will keep it. They win the flag. I'm not gonna hold it.
Right now, men are competing in the high kick, in which a glove is lowered from the ceiling to different heights. And a man goes out, holds one foot in the opposite hand, like he holds his left foot in his right hand, kicks there with his right foot, and has to land on his right foot.
Jump up here.
Jump.
Marijuana. Okay, we got it. You got it. Hey, boy, you got it.
Right now, men are competing in the high kick, which a glove is lowered from the ceiling at different heights, and a man squats on the floor and, say, his right foot, holds his left foot in his right hand, must kick with his right foot, hit the glove, and land again on his right foot for a successful kick. Different men compete, and then the glove is raised to different heights and continues until someone finally wins. Errol Cockwick is now going up to try.
Errol!
Each man gets three tries. He didn't make any of the three this time. Harry Kaliak eyes the glove, balances himself, kicks, almost.
Too close, Harry. Harry. Harry.
This is Samuel Simmons from Barrow, and I am about to give a brief history about the Christmas celebration here at Barrow, Alaska. The Christmas celebrations have been started out by early missionaries, and of course this is the time that we have learned about Christmas. And ever since, we have started to have feast at Christmas time, and also Christmas programs were started out by the church. The church, of course, was the one who brought the schools and so on. So the school and church combined for the Christmas programs ever since. And this year, the elderly couples of our church present the Christmas pageant. And the following year, in 72, our young people will also give the Christmas pageant. So we take turns in giving the Christmas message to our people, and this is always something that our people have looked forward to. Not only that, we usually have our Christmas feast. This is something like a Thanksgiving feast. I believe the Christmas feast has started because the natives have always wanted to have some feasting after a good catch of whaling. And of course, during whaling time, the captain of the crew usually set aside enough so that he will have enough to give for celebrations of Thanksgiving feast and Christmas feast. And also, of course, at Nalakotak time. So the captain of the whaling crew saved the proportion of a whale for this celebration. So after the celebration of Christmas, the natives, of course, have had the time of games before the showing of films was introduced here, and the Eskimos have always wanted to have some activity going on. And since they don't have the activity time throughout the year, we all look forward to this Christmas vacation, we call, I guess. That's from Christmas Day to the first of the year. So the games are going on at the present time. And to make it more interesting, they would play the singles versus the married couples. So this is one way that we continue the native games. Otherwise, they would have been just the memory. When I was a boy, in the short days of the year, before the these quiet activities, we call something like film showing and so on, were introduced, we usually have a time of football. The people look forward to it, and we all look forward to it. And that is something that the people always like to do and have fun outside, even though the weather may be cold and dark. It is something that they look forward to. So, as far as other activities are concerned, the native activities, the other only time would be during July 4th. These are not the type that we are playing at the present time. I'm not thinking about the basketball, which gets to be a pretty good sport now inside the big buildings. At the present time, I was thinking about the native activities, which are resuming again at this present time. And I believe they do have a wonderful time again. Sometimes the clock doesn't matter when they are getting occupied with all the games that they were playing. So maybe that's about what I have at the present time.
Tell me something about, are the games the same as they were in the past?
Not always, but majority of them would be the same. But there are always some new things, new games that they have.
Could you describe some of the games?
Well, some of the games that I saw just for last night, I don't participate myself much anymore, so some of the games that I saw last night are the ones that I haven't seen before. Maybe they have played them before, but something like taking hold of your foot and then try to kick the high thing there. And of course, the other native activities, which is not existing anymore, is the activities of village to village. And this happens, I was just a real small boy, I believe, when the last one was being played here, or some men runners coming in from Wainwright and further on and so on. They get together and play and have a wonderful time of dancing and all that native activity. It is just a story now. I don't think they will ever attempt something like that. The men and women do participate and then get together, gave presents. Of course, this was before Christmas time, and they do exchange presents from village to village. So this is just something that is in the past, which we don't follow anymore. Well, the Whalers, of course, as I say before, they do save particular part of a whale for Christmas celebration. So that is why a captain of a crew, I believe, get pretty good portion of a whale, because when he get that proportion of a whale, that doesn't mean that everything will belong to him. He's got enough now to share with the people. So not too much of that whale goes to the whaler, the captain. And from many captains that I know of, they say it's a wonderful thing to share when you have your own and share it with the people. And they're all always looking forward to this. But we don't really know how long this Christmas feasting and Thanksgiving feasting will continue, because we have to hold it in buildings, and our buildings are getting crowded every year. In the past, in my younger days, we usually bring all the presents of parents and kids to the church, and they would be all piled up in the church. And the last one that we have had was somewhere in late 50s or early 60s. It was so crowded, there were so many presents in the church, and we were all so tired passing them on to every family. So this was discontinued, because it gets to be a big thing, too big. But the feast, the Thanksgiving feast and Christmas feast still continue, and we are still looking forward to it for next year. I don't know what the session of this church will decide in the future, because we will get to the point of not having room for every people who come to the church.